bit. I initially said, "Ah, don't worry about centering it." Now my OCD is kicking in. All right. Sorry, Pete. I should have said yes. But it's good to see you tonight. And as you can see, there is a bit of a change of format as far as seating. We've got the school concert on Friday night, and they're doing a Around the World theme, I think. So looking at different songs from different countries, and I know that they've been working hard on that. And just a late plug, if you're not doing anything Friday night, there's still tickets available, I believe. And so you can just go to our school website and book yourself one, and it'll be a great time. There's going to be sausage sizzle as well, just trying to entice you even more. And that's going to be fundraising for Impact Youth. And so it's sort of a bit of a all hands on deck kind of Friday evening, but we're looking forward to it, and I know the students have been working hard. And so let's turn our Bibles to Job chapter 32. And wasn't planning on preaching this evening, actually. If you would pray for a couple of our guys on staff. So Brother Andrew was meant to be preaching tonight, but he's been feeling unwell. And then Pastor Phil had surgery just on his ear and things, just to remove some of the melanomas and all of that, and really took a hit on him. And so just pray for him. He was hoping to be well enough to be around, but he hasn't been all week, so just pray for him. I know he'd appreciate our prayers in that. But Job chapter 32, and let's read a couple of verses here. It's an interesting chapter of this really interesting book, and I don't know if you've ever read through the book of Job. I know some of you would read it, and obviously there's a lot of reading involved, a lot of just discerning and figuring out who's actually speaking. And you understand that really, as far as a book, if you're going through some trial or even questions of faith, it's probably the book that you could really glean from and you could really look at. And you know, in the book of Job, there's several characters here, and finally, after all of the talking between Job and his three friends, a fourth friend really comes into the scene in chapter 32, and he was the youngest one. Elihu was the youngest among Job's friends, and he finally speaks here after listening for a little bit quietly. And you know, I don't know if you've ever been the youngest in a room. When growing up, even though I was the eldest in my family as far as kids were concerned, there were many times my dad would have his friends over, or there were times where he and my uncle, who's a pastor, would sit around the dinner table, and I just sit there and listen to them debate about the deeper things of the Word of God. And they would go back and forth, and you know, sometimes I had to referee, they would come to blows. No, I'm kidding, that never happened. My dad's not like that. But there were a few times they would be discussing things, and I just sit and listen, because to be honest, I had nothing to give. All right, I had nothing to really offer. That wasn't really the case for Elihu, we're going to see here in a little bit. But he makes an observation after just being the silent partner, the silent witness in the room. And he considers everything that's been said, and you know, it took a lot for Elihu to just listen there and then come to some conclusions. And notice what he says after he finally speaks, you know, in verse 1, "So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled," and notice this, "the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God." And so there's still an element here that we understand, you know, that he didn't fully comprehend, but he made some conclusions. And notice in verse 4, "Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken." Why? Because they were elder than he. "When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, 'I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion, And notice what he concludes in verses 7, 8, and 9. I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty, capital A in your Bible, referring to God, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. And so he makes a conclusion about really the limits of man's wisdom. And he observed rightly that as the youngest, he was afraid to speak because in his opinion didn't really amount to much. He understood that whose presence he was in. He was amongst those who were elder than him, those who had more learning, those who had more experience, those who in many ways, he said it, should have had answers. And yet when he listened to all of that, his estimation was this, you know, they still didn't. You know, those that should have had an answer didn't have an answer. And I wonder if you've ever observed been in a privy to a conversation or a situation, you've just sat there and there was no real solution to it. You know, people just talk and talk and go back and forth, and at the end of it, those that should have had the answer didn't, and you just sit back and you go, well, what do we do? Well, what do we? How do we move from this time here where really all we've talked about is what we've talked about and there's not even been any conclusion? You know, sometimes there are difficult things in life, right? Sometimes there's things that we observe and we might make some guesses or guesstimates, or we might say, you know, I think it might be this, but we don't see the full picture. We don't always see everything. And the beauty about the book of Job is whilst those discussions are happening, we also saw some of the reasons for the happenings. You know, right in the beginning, the first couple of chapters, we see that God was allowing some difficulty to happen in Job's life, not because he was a bad guy, but because he actually was a good guy. He was actually someone who God saw as a great example. And the enemies of God was trying to test God through Job. And so we see that there was just the unveiling a little bit and the opening a little bit of that spiritual curtain that is hidden from us. But we also are privy to the conversations and sort of the logic that happened from these three friends of Job. And there were some things that they said were true but weren't true of Job. So they were spiritual men enough to know the general tenure of life, but they weren't quite applying it correctly to Job. And so Elihu waits all this time and he speaks and he just makes some conclusions. And you know, when our reasoning fails, here's what he concludes. God's spirit can illuminate what we can't see on our own. He can actually turn the frustrations of trying to get to the answer. He's trying to turn those frustrations into faith. He's trying to turn our questions and our musings and our going back and forth, even sometimes in our own mind and heart, to some clarity. And what God does is he gives us understanding that clears the fog of our own human limitation, and then it helps us understand life a little bit more. And the whole book of Job, it really begins with silence, and then it ends with this revelation from God about what man is. And along the way, after Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar argued loudly and convinced their reasoning was the reason for Job's suffering, we see chapter 32, and it's a bit of a pivot point. Elihu speaks now. And it's their turn to listen, and their arguments were exhausted. And what that shows, firstly, in Elihu's conclusions, is this, firstly, the limits of human wisdom. You know, there's a lot of wise people I know. There's a lot of people that if you were to ask me if you needed some counsel and advice, there would be some I would go, no, you absolutely should go to that person. And there's some through experience and through expertise and through much learning, they've gleaned as much wisdom or some wisdom that they can then give to you. But what Elihu was saying, as he was an observer for a long time of all those conversations, was this: he waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. And then he said, I said, they should speak and multitude of you should teach wisdom. So you guys are so much older than me. You guys should have spoken and all of that. But then he says in verse 9, great men are not always wise. So, you know, there's just the limits of human wisdom. And Elihu begins by explaining to them, firstly, why he remained silent. He honored the elders. Yeah, it's a good lesson. I was thinking about that. It's just a good lesson. You know, I think sometimes in a world where there's a lot of information that's being pumped out and we can access it, that we can easily sometimes think we're wise because of the information that we've gathered. And as young people, as young men and young ladies in this room, can I implore you that there is a place for listening more than speaking? That sometimes it's best to allow those that are elder in the room and elder in the situation that you're in to just speak and just talk and just observe. I think it was right, and it speaks really to Elihu's humility that for a while he just listened. That he understood that he needed to find his place. And yet what he concluded, though, was he was expecting that their age would at least give them some insight. And it did. It did to a certain degree. Again, you can take some statements from the book of Job as standalone, and you can look at that and go, you know what? That's actually right about life. But, you know, just because it's right about life, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right about someone's situation. And so you could look at that and you could go, well, look, there's just limits. And experience alone can't always unlock the mysteries of life. That's what he was concluding. Great men aren't always wise. And you know, again, we live in a world that values knowledge. You could look at someone that might be able to help you, and you know, you walk in there and you go into a doctor's office. And I know I do. I go in there and I'm comforted with the amount of degrees at times that they have on the wall. Right? You look at that, wow, this person's really qualified. Right? I don't know if they printed it themselves. Who knows? I can't check that. But I go in there, there's a little bit of comfort to know that at least they're very, very, very learned, it seemed. You know, we value that. We value degrees and strategies and cleverness. We value experience and to a point, we ought to value it. To a point, we ought to look at that, and that ought to be something that we seek. But what he concludes was there's limits, though. You know, none of these can guarantee discernment. None of these can guarantee that someone is actually wise. And these elders that he had, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they had argued their points, but in the end, they lacked insight. They had opinions, but they lacked understanding from above. And you know, I think sometimes we can be that way as even the church. We can look at the same, we can adapt the same values that the world adopts. And we can maybe look at ourselves as the 21st century church, and we look at all the resources that we have and all of the learning that can be so available to us, but we can lack discernment. And we can know a lot about ministry, we can know a lot about structure, we can know a lot about programs, we can know all of that, but if the breath of God does not fill us, then all of that is lifeless form. Because that's what he says. He says there in verse 8, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And so whilst human wisdom has limits, it reaches a ceiling, what he's concluding, though, is that divine wisdom is open right up until the heavens. And so what he's also concluding is that there's limits to human wisdom, but then there's the true source of understanding. He says there is a spirit in man. So there's that thing that witnesses in us where the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And you know, Elihu's statement is quite revolutionary. The word inspiration here, it means breath or wind. It's the same idea in the Bible that we find in Genesis chapter 2 when it says God breathed into Adam the breath of life. It animated him. It made him alive. It inspired him. It caused him to be different. And that breath not only gave physical life, you understand, it gave man consciousness, right? We're all conscious tonight. At least I'm looking around, mostly conscious. Right? Give me enough time, I'll put you to sleep, all right? But it gave consciousness, right? It didn't just give man living. It made him conscious, aware of his environment, aware that he was in this place. It also gave him reason. That's why God was able to give him work to do. He was able to name the animals and tend to the garden. He didn't just become a living soul in the strictest sense of that term where he was alive. No, he had consciousness. He had reason. He had creativity and all of that and the capacity, even this, for spiritual fellowship with God. Right? The whole reason God gave breath to man, inspired him, was to create a living soul that could fellowship with God. You know, whilst God can look at nature and God can rejoice in his creation, it's only man that he can fellowship with. It's only man in his capacities, it bears the image of God. We are tripart beings like God. And we can reason and we could create and all of that. Why? Because God breathed. God made a living soul. And so Elihu, he declares the same thing, the same breath, the same spirit still moves in human hearts to animate something in them, to impart wisdom, to impart discernment, to impart understanding. And we don't think our way to understanding. Actually, what he's saying is we receive it when God breathes on us. So aren't you glad that we have the Word of God that is inspired? It's God breathed. You see, we don't think our way to revelation. We receive it when God breathes on us. And you think about Moses, who had wisdom not from the training he had in Egypt. No, he received it from God's presence. God may have used it and molded it, but God gave it to him through his presence. Joseph interpreted dreams not by training. He didn't take a course in the pit, right? He didn't exchange his multicolored coat and then he didn't go in the pit and he didn't learn how to interpret dreams there. No, God gave it to him. God gave him that ability and God gave that answer to Joseph to even speak to Pharaoh and give him clarity. Daniel, right? He was well educated, but he could read the writing on the wall. Why? Because it was God that is the one that reveals the secrets. The apostles were fishermen and tax collectors, and yet people marveled. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. Right? Something changes when we're just with God. Something changes and it becomes inspired. And when God breathes, I'm saying ordinary people can receive extraordinary understanding. And so this is what our world actually desperately needs. It just doesn't need information. It needs transformation. And to do that, they need inspiration and not just cleverness, but clarity from the Almighty. That's what the world needs. You know, and what he concludes is actually the sovereignty of the Almighty. He says, great men are not always wise. Notice that. Neither do the aged understand judgment. And what he concludes is that God actually, despite the limitations of man, can't be confined by human categories. You know, we might think that only wisdom only comes from a certain level of attainment, you know, but he's saying that it doesn't come from just age and just experience. He can even give understanding to those who are younger men. You know, some of you who are living your life and building your life and using your youth as an excuse to live foolishly has no excuse now. Because you might think, well, I can only learn by experiencing. No, listen, you can learn from the Almighty. You can learn from seeking Him and understanding His ways. And God's not confined by human categories. God could raise up an 8-year-old to be on the throne of His nation. God could do that. And listen, it doesn't mean that because you're young and you're just up and coming that you should live with no wisdom. Listen, you can seek it and you'll find it. God can. And we've got to understand that He's not confined by human categories. You know, He gave a boy named David insight. When he got to that battlefield, he was the only one that stood up and understood. He gave a young prophet Samuel discernment when no one else was awake to understand that God was speaking to him. And then to look at Eli, who could no longer hear God's voice, who was a high priest. He gave Solomon a listening heart. Why? Just because he needed to govern wisely. I'm saying that God is not confined by human categories. And I'm imploring you, He still gives an understanding today. You know, He gives understanding today to those who humble themselves before Him. You know, we live in a world that's prideful of its knowledge. You know, we have some amazing thinkers today, and sometimes we can get carried away. We could listen to all of that. And I like listening to thinkers, but I also know that they're not God. They could be wrong. See, our confidence must never rest in our collective knowledge or collective experience or our cleverness or our traditions. We've actually got to rest in the fact that the Almighty still speaks. And His inspiration, it can cut through actually the noise of the age. It's a noisy world that we live in. And fill us, His people, actually with the perspective that we can only find in Him. And so what are some principles on how the Almighty gives understanding? See, it's the Almighty who gives understanding. That's Elihu's conclusion. Then what's our role? Our role is not to strive, but to seek. See, the Spirit is not silent. We've got to make room for His breath to move again amongst us. And here's the first principle on how the Almighty gives understanding. Seek before you speak. You know, it's easy to talk. It's easy to you could start a podcast. You could start a channel. You could be a talking head amongst the talking heads. But you know, it's better for us to seek before we speak. You know, Elihu waited. In a world rushing to talk, we've got to be a people that waits on God. We've got to allow our meetings and our ministries and our messages, they've all got to begin with listening to His voice. Secondly, we've got to cultivate spiritual hunger. You see, that's the thing. We're so used to fast food truth. And I'll use that word in truth in inverted commas. You know, we're so used to snapshot and soundbite living. And yet it takes hunger to dig into the Word of God and to dig into the things of God through prayer. And God breathes where there's openness. You see, the Spirit fills empty vessels, not full ones. And I want to say that hunger attracts the breath of heaven. And so tonight, if you're just making do with the world's wisdom, then I want to tell you, you've got to empty yourself and get hungry for God's wisdom. You've got to get hungry for His perspective of life. You've got to get hungry for the understanding that He wants to give you through your problems and through your circumstances. You've got to hunger for spiritual things. And you've got to, thirdly, here's the third principle, depend on divine revelation. And I'll clarify that in the next thing, but every challenge, I want to say whether it's in leadership, family, ministry. You know what? It doesn't demand just common sense. For the Christian, it demands God's sense. A sense of what God sees and thinks. And we need to be the type of people that pray, Lord, help me to understand. Give me divine insight. Help me see. And really connected with that is the fourth principle. We need to honor the breath of God through His Word. You know, the Word is the Almighty's breath, right? Right? It's inspired, right? Every word is given through inspiration. And so we understand it. To understand it, please, we've got to read it, right? We've got to meditate on it. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to apply it anew in our circumstances today. And we need to read it in context. We need to rightly divide it. We need to study it like never before. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? It's not just a clever verse that says awana, right? No, it's actual truth from the Word of God. And so we have complicated times in our... The world's become complicated. There's things you read in the news and you've got to sort through that. There's things in your life you're sorting through today. And we won't go to the very book that God breathed. It's the living Word of God. And we'll just let it sit there while it's the greatest resource God has given us under the sun. And we don't take it seriously enough. We don't open it like we should, with purpose and with hunger and with desire. And then we wonder why we can't work things out. We wonder why we keep talking about the same things. And we wonder why we're just figuring things out like we're sort of in the dark. But we've got to honor the breath of God through His Word. And then fifthly, how do we get the inspiration of the Almighty? How do we get understanding? We need to unite around God's wisdom. You see, when the Almighty gives understanding, He brings clarity and unity. And when God makes it clear, we ought to just get behind it, not to be driven by human opinion, but by His guidance through His Word. And I'm saying that in the end, Elihu's speech, it really prepared the way for God Himself to speak. Because he speaks about the inspiration of the Almighty. Again, that word simply means breath or wind. But notice with me, look at Job chapter 40, because now God begins to speak. And look how almighty He actually is. Look at verse 6. Then answered the Lord. Notice there, Job chapter 40, verse 6. It says, then answered the Lord unto Job, notice this, out of the whirlwind. I don't know about you, but a whirlwind's pretty powerful. Right? I know He can speak in His still small voice, but His voice came out of a whirlwind. Talk about coming in and rearranging stuff. Right? That's what God does sometimes when we're looking for an answer, when we're looking for understanding, is He'll come in and rearrange stuff. And so He comes and He speaks out of a whirlwind. He says to Job, gird up thy loins now like a man. And I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I'm going to declare to you. And you know, Job was looking for answers, and here's God. And the inspiration of the Almighty comes powerfully. And then notice what happens. Look at chapter 42. So he has a conversation. He touches on some things. We won't take the time. Lord willing, our theme next year, a little bit of a preview will be around that whole thought of the Almighty. We're going to, Lord willing, I've been studying through the book of Job, and we're going to go through it as much as we can next year, Lord willing, but just a little bit of a teaser. Look at Job 42, look at verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me which I knew not. He was really admitting after all that he really didn't know much. And he says, here I beseech thee and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. And verse 5 is one of the key verses in the book. He says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. You know what Job got at the end? He got understanding. He got clarity. You know, human wisdom has its limits. The true source of wisdom is God's wisdom. But we've got to rest in his sovereignty, knowing that we can seek him. And so I don't know what complication you have in your life. There's probably several. There's probably things you're thinking through, working through. I want you to know that you have a God who you can seek, and he can give you the inspiration of understanding that you need. But you've got to find it by seeking rather than speaking. You've got to hunger for it. You've got to depend on that divine understanding and revealing, and you need to find it in his word. And then when you get it, do it with all your might. And I want to encourage you, that's the goal, really. It's not to win arguments or gather more wisdom, but that we see him, that we see more of him. We ought to pray that the Spirit of the Almighty, it fills our hearts, it fills our homes, it fills our church, it brings light, it brings peace, it brings understanding. Because in the end, his breath brings light even in our dark times. And we live in darkness. And so we need more of his light. And so, hey guys, listen. You could just sort of guess your way through life and then hope for the best. Or you could seek God, and he can give you the inspiration and the clarity that you need. And he might do some rearranging, but you'll find him anyway, and you'll find him in a greater way. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for everyone here. Lord, just their heart to be attentive. Pray that you'd help each one, Lord, as we seek you. I pray that you'd just be honored in all that we say and do. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.